This is injury attorney David Femininio. A personal injury of any sort is in fact personal. I have dedicated my entire career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured in an accident. I also make sure that my clients get all of the medical care that they need to recover after an accident. You need an injury attorney who makes it personal. So if you or someone you know is injured, you need to tell them to call me at 855-65-CRASH or go to my website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Paul Sarah has started with sultry music on a Monday. And I say Paul Sarah because almost as if it was a sick and twisted synchronized swimming team, Kenny and David called off sick within 3 minutes of each other. So, Paul, you are our everything today. By the end of today, Rico and I are going to be looking at you like Kevin Costner looked at Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard.
That's a little disturbing, but okay.
Oh, because Paul is our lifeline. Paul is aces.
He is.
We are happy to have you here. And don't be shy with the microphone, damn it. Your sports takes are good. We have a lot of ground to cover, and I really don't know what people are going to do. We talked Friday about, are you even watching these games? I can only offer my perspective. I'd love to hear yours. We did not talk this weekend. I'd like to hear from the people. I want to tell you the biggest takeaway, other than Taylor Swift runs the NFL. Is I actually found watching the Eagles dismantle the Commanders cathartic. I just was like, if the Eagles had played like a 1917 game, I'd be like, damn, maybe the Lions. Maybe we really blew this. You didn't. The Eagles would have come here and butchered you. They would have shoved your head up your own ass. I mean, they put a 50 burger up without even trying in the fourth quarter. Their ground game was unstoppable. Their passing game was unstoppable. Jalen Hurts is healthy, and their defense ain't got nothing to do with the Commanders. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, they dominated the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, you know what? Thanks for saving me the time.
That's what it felt like.
Because if you took it hard losing to the Commanders people, how would that have felt knowing you were in the NFC title game back-to-back and you got beat at home? In your current state, not the healthy state, your current state, if the Eagles played that game yesterday, you weren't beating them. So for me, it allowed for healing, cathartic.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine what this defense would do with Saquon Barkley because you couldn't handle Brian Robinson. You made him look like he was
in the back.
You made him look like he was an all-pro. So Saquon, oh my goodness. He may have had 250 yards.
But yeah, I walked in today like, you know what? They actually did us a favor. Because I'll tell you this, I could never survive what the Bills fans have gone through here. Forget about the 90s. I'm talking lately. Like, let me lose in the wild card divisional round every year before I lose in the AFC title game or lose to the same team every year.
It was funny because I was talking to Doug during crosstalk, and it's I realize not Bills radio, but I don't know what's worse, the four straight Super Bowls or losing to the same guy four straight years.
Can it be some form of satanic push?
That's what it seems like. Because in all the games, you're close. I mean, you go back to the 13-second game, and the NFL has to now change the rules because of that game.
Well, like they changed the spot yesterday?
Yeah.
We can get to that later. I just would like to know, as we start a Monday, assuming you watched, what were you feeling? I mean, many of you already thought the Lions were in these games this weekend. That somehow, I mean, I talked to Cookies, and he's still playing this game of God, I wish we had just given the ball to Gibbs more. I go, why? To get murdered by the Eagles? It played out actually in the least painful way possible. No, I don't believe being in that game and losing in that game was somehow better. I don't. But I'm the same guy who'll tell you I'd rather be a Giants fan, win three games, and be numb than be a Bills fan. And deal with Patrick Mahomes dropping his chandelier on my head every playoffs. Rico, I would never be able to handle
really?
It. I couldn't do it. No.
Because I'm like, man, I think for the Bills, it's more frustrating because it literally is that commercial with the dude with the dollar on the fishing string.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And you're like, I'm so close.
I can't do it.
Like, you're not getting blown out.
And listen, it doesn't bring me pleasure that the Eagles won in the way they did. No, no, no. Understanding that if they play that way, you weren't beating them. Look, I still had to watch the guy my team gave away go to a Super Bowl in his first year somewhere else. I'm not mad at Saquon for being there. I'm mad at the Giants for mishandling the whole situation.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, easier to be on the sidelines and avoid the pain. You weren't beating that team. And I don't care whatever kind of copium and hopium you want to sell. I was telling Jim that. And then I finally got him to say, all right, yeah, we probably weren't beating him. I go, then why do I need to care if you got there? There's no consolation prize.
No, but the only way that you beat the Eagles is you would have needed a ton of turnovers. You would have needed just like some things straight from God in order to win that game if you would have played them. But I think if you're a Lions fan, if you're deep down, if you're, you know, now that the swelling is down, you can realize may have been a good thing. 248-539-9797 because the Eagles were a machine.
And you weren't prepared to stop it because of the injuries. That's it. Yeah. Look, if the Lions were fully healthy, that's a different conversation. I do believe you'd beat the Eagles. You weren't fully healthy. Team had plenty of injuries that aren't even in the public record. The defense had been gutted.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop the worst offensive line left in the playoffs. What the hell were you going to do with the Eagles?
Right, because in the event that you're patchwork secondary actually stood up and guarded Devonta and A.J. Brown.
Doesn't matter. Jalen go right out the back door.
Right.
How are you going to stop their ground game? You couldn't stop the Commanders. So, like, I'm with you on this, but look, if people would say, look, I still wanted to get to the game, you can do whatever you want with it. I'll just tell you.
Or if you have a way that you think that the Lions could have beat the Eagles, I would love to hear that. I really would.
I'll tell you what, Rico wants to hear that. I'll leave. I'd rather the Yankees not make the playoffs than lose in the World Series. Straight up. Don't need it. Don't need that kind of frustration in my life. So that's the whole principle. I mean,
but see, here's the thing, though. It's hard to say that with this Lions team because it was 4 months of we're winning the Super Bowl. It was 4 months of Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. That's why I said, you know, on Friday when I told TJ, I think that it was harder to lose the game a couple weeks ago than losing last year. Because last year, it was for about an hour or hour and a half. You thought, we got a chance of doing this.
Right, but what's easy is knowing you weren't beating that team. That helps you navigate the pain you've been in the last week. No Lion fan that has a clue about football and is not fully immersed in their own delusion thinks that they could have beaten the Eagles as they're currently constituted and as the Eagles are currently playing. You're not beating them. Saquon's a joke at this point. That offensive line, that running game, a week after you couldn't stop the Commanders? Come on, man. Not you, I'm saying them.
Right.
So for me, watching the games against my will, I actually felt better about it. I felt better that we didn't even have to get butchered by the Eagles and losing the NFC title game. And then, honestly, I felt better because I'm not a Bills fan. I just could never. Imagine the Lions losing in the playoffs 5 straight years to Jaden Daniels. You can't clear the hurdle. You would be driven to Howard Hughes madness. Maybe not bottling your own urine, but you'd be insane. If you don't get the reference, you can Google. The point I'm making is I came away hashtag blessed. Hashtag thankful. I watched yesterday and went, you know what?
You wanted no parts of that.
That was the cleanest death possible. Because if they had gotten back to the NFC title game and lost, that kills you. Because it's the same game they lost in last year. Yeah. And again, you and I have a different perspective, is that I think the closer you get to the Super Bowl, the more the loss hurts.
Oh, it does.
But it just...
Oh, no, no. All the way up to losing the Super Bowl. Hurts even worse. And if you want the double kick in the balls, lose in overtime. But, yes. Eventually, though, they had to experience that pain the last year. Even if you lose the Super, you have to experience that pain before you could say, well, I don't want to ever experience that again.
Okay.
You've seen championships. So you know what it's like to be on the top, and it's a journey. And if you fall off, you know, the slope gets slit. It's a long slide down if you screw up. When you get the closer you get to the top, they didn't get a chance to do that. And I thought that this team, they went out, they bought all the equipment, they had everything ready to hit the mountaintop, and they just tripped and fell right out the gate.
One way to put it. And I, like I said, I'm not mad at you. I happen to agree with you. If you ran the ball more, you beat the Commanders, maybe. You probably don't turn it over as many times and therefore probably win. Guess what? It ain't got nothing to do with beating the Eagles. Because you know what you weren't going to do against the Eagles? Work your way up and down the field. And you sure as hell weren't stopping them. So I actually walked away feeling good. Maybe you feel worse about it. Maybe you live in a world where you feel like you would have dominated the Eagles, and you do whatever you want. But I'll tell you this. Lion fans don't get a right to be salty because at least we're not Bills fans. Bills fans right now, that is sports hell. That is hell. They have lost to the same annoying, arrogant, pain in the ass, Patrick Mahomes and this Taylor Swift run league. 4-0 in the regular season. I think Allen's now 0-4 or 0-5 in the postseason. It's the same guy.
Yeah. And in a weird twist of irony, you made it to the game because Mark Andrews dropped an easy pass.
And you know what? If I were the Bills, I would have rather not made it at all.
And then
I would have rather Andrews caught the ball and then beat me in overtime.
You lose the game because your guy drops a pass on fourth down, hits him in his arm.
Twisted irony, isn't it?
It is.
I'd rather not make it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Like, listen, I know my team blows. It's easy at this point. Right. We're terrible. Why would I want to endure that pain? You're a Bills fan. What value do you take in having a good regular season? Nothing. What value do you take in Josh Allen being super popular or winning an MVP? Nothing. What value do you take in being the one seed? Nothing. What value do you take in anything about your team, including your stupid Let's Go Buffalo song? Stugatz. Nothing. All they have given you is pain. They have drained your blood slowly over the last 5 years to where now you are a shriveled corpse.
So being a member of Bills Mafia ranks right up there with the Lions takeover people.
Pretty much. Hope you enjoyed it. You blew all your money. You're probably in debt, and you got nothing out of it. 248-539-9797. I'd rather be a three-win team. It is cheaper financially and emotionally. And so says the Lord.
That's funny. I'm sorry.
What? It's not meant to be funny. It's just the truth.
No, I'm sorry. That's why. It's a three-win team. You're not taking over a lot of stadiums.
Take over? I don't even take over my own living room.
Nobody's chanting Daniel Jones.
No, they're flying a plane that says F the owner.
Yeah.
It's actually easier this way. That's the mindset I take, is that by the Lions losing to the Commanders, it made the pain less. Because losing to the Eagles would have hurt way more. And I don't think you were beating them.
Yeah.
But create whatever fantasy you like. I don't care. 248-539-9797.
And according to you, nobody's beating the Chiefs.
Well, it depends what mood is Taylor in. I mean, with the way that game went yesterday, the guy who had no view of the play, walks from the Chiefs sideline and overrules the guy with the view who had given the Bills the first down. Coincidence? I think not. Taylor had the earpiece in, MTV disaster date, change spot. I'm telling
Taylor
you.
Taylor Swift on the mic. Oh, hell no.
And then Steratore comes on. He goes, yeah, guys, they got the first down probably by about a half a football. Cutscene. No, they didn't. What's the rules expert for if the rules expert is never right? We'll be here all day.
I like that.
248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls on a Monday. All right, David. We've got a remix for Rico. Here's very exciting. You guys haven't paid attention, and rightfully so. You've been busy with football in your life. Let's get you up to speed. David, hit the button.
Nice little Ron Ball Rock remix. We'll see what happens with this song when NBC gets it back next season.
While You Were Away edition.
Yeah, let's start here in Miami. Real simple, okay? I'm going to go through the timeline with Jimmy Butler. So his contract was not extended during the offseason, so that created an issue. Because on January 2nd, he told the media that I want to see me get my joy back playing basketball, and I'll go wherever they'll have me. Well, he got suspended because of that. Then he returned, then missed the team flight for a dinner party and suspended a second time. Returned this week. Then he walked out of practice after finding out he's not going to be the starter anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's suspended indefinitely. Does he get traded before the deadline next Thursday?
I'll let Rico handle that. I'm just here to tell you the following. If you can't find your joy while you're making $48.8 million this year, and you get to tell your employer whether you'd like to make $52.4 next year, you can F off to the sun. Here's Mike, Rico about trades and things.
Joy comes at $55 million a year.
You're 35 years old, Jimmy. You're older than Methuselah.
But have you seen my hair?
Is he going to get traded, yes or no? Answer the question, no. Funny man.
No, I don't think he's going to get traded because I don't think the Heat are just willing to give him away. But I also think that Pat Riley's willing to just say, son, I'll eat the cost for you this year.
Now, mind you, Jimmy Butler takes up 35% of their cap this year, 34% if he triggers that player option next year. Enjoy, David.
Let's start from the beginning of the season. Well, the draft. Just give people an update on what Bronny James is doing. He was drafted by the Lakers. He debuted. Him and his dad made history, and now he plays in the G League.
Because he can't play NBA basketball. Rico was all over this. What do you want me to say?
Nothing. Just give people the update. That's all.
Here's your update. Right. He's going to be selling tile at Home Depot.
Does he still have the deal where he doesn't play G League on the road?
I think he's playing on the road now.
Oh, okay. Because the first, it was like he only stays in L.A. When the Lakers are home, he's a Laker. When his G League team's at home, he's with them. He doesn't travel on the road until, I guess, dad realized, you're never going to get better doing this. So go on the road, and maybe I'll buy your team a bus.
So let's get to the top of the East and talk about the two top teams there. First, the Cavaliers. They are 37-9 in the East, first there. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they kicked off the season with a historically hot start. They started 15-0 until they lost to the Celtics on November 19th. Cleveland Cavaliers are always good, always up there, but is this the year for them?
No. Mm-mm. They're fake. This is all window dressing, because once the playoffs start, Celtics will pay attention. Denver, yeah, look, they're not winning a championship. But it's cute.
Yeah.
Enjoy. They'll dine on the bullet in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll be a great regular season team, but I don't think they're built for a championship run.
So you mentioned the Celtics there, Mike. I wonder, is it just them being bored? Because they did start the season at 16-3. They've been 16-11 since then, mm-hmm. 5.5 games behind Cleveland. And the Celtics have now blown a fourth-quarter lead 9 times this season, including last night to the Rockets. They were up 12 with 8.5 minutes left.
I'm aware.
Is it them just being bored, or do they really have a problem?
It's a little of both. I mean, these players aren't wired to be great. They want it once, the idea that they'll be motivated. Look at the money these guys are making. The biggest thing with the Celtics, by month, October, November, December, January, it's gone down from three-point land.
Yeah.
If they're making their threes, they destroy everybody. If they're missing them, they're going to blow a bunch of fourth quarter leads. I still believe they'll dial in and get where they need to go and make a deep, meaningful run. But David, after they won a championship last year, like I don't care. I got what I wanted.
Yeah, there's not real competition in the East if you've paid attention. If you're not, this is what this is for.
Well, David,
Knicks are there, Bucks are there, Pacers there. I mean, not much.
No, I would say they're bored. There's another team out there that I think is problematic.
Who
but
is
it's
that?
Not the Celtics. I don't want to steal your thunder because you may bring them up.
No, I want you to give
later.
It to me right now.
The Warriors. The Warriors, that's
you
problematic.
Think so?
They're done. We are witnessing. In a second, you're going to have to go and take the keys away from Steph and say you can't drive anymore. Okay?
So is that era done? Steph Curry era over?
That era is done. They just don't realize that it's done. But yeah, it's. They're going to try and probably do some ridiculous trade at the deadline. When the players are openly talking about a big trade, you're done, you're desperate, and that's where the Warriors are.
Well, that's a good segue to the West, because let's talk about OKC. OKC is the best team in the NBA record-wise right now at 37-8. Yes, people, if you're not paying attention, Oklahoma City has the best record in the NBA, and this is why. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is averaging 32 points a game, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He's shooting 52% from the field. Probably the MVP right now, but Jokic is also balling out as well. Can SGA do what Durant never did in OKC and win a championship?
Yeah, but he needs more help. Yeah. Look, again, they're very similar to Cleveland. They're really good. They're really young. They're fun. Chet breaking a bone in his leg is just unfortunate. But, like, they got to make one more move. There has to be one more dog there. And they've got the picks. Yeah. It's just Sam Presti's got to decide who that is, what he wants to do. They're one of what? Pistons, OKC. I think there's, like, one other team with cap space.
Yeah. Now,
What?
See, I don't think he would want to go there.
No.
Okay.
You're not doing this again with Jimmy Butler, are you?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. No, I was going to say, would they actually jump the gun and maybe try to bring Zion there?
I wouldn't do that.
So
I'll pass on that.
No, I'm not talking Jimmy Butler. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't do it.
No, I was like, Zion, like, man, you know, he'll be free in the offseason.
That's different. Yes, then you could just pay him. I'm not giving up anything for him. He needs to give up the ho-hos.
Well, it's not much in OKC.
just find him gnawing on a cow.
Right. Corn and wheat.
And just giving people all the information. So the Houston Rockets and the Detroit Pistons were in the gutter at the same time. Houston is now the second seed in the Western Conference. Are they truly a good team, or is this just they just kind of overshot their first half of the season here?
I just think the cream will rise to the top in the playoffs. I don't think they're ready to make that type of run. Are they dangerous? Sure they are. But I don't think they're... Now, if you ask me who do I believe in more, Cleveland or Houston?
Yeah.
Probably...
I would say Houston.
I probably lean Houston.
I think Houston's a lot closer to the very top than maybe we want to give them credit for. But yeah, it's happened fast, but it's kind of like, really?
Yeah. I also think Cleveland's gotten fat and sassy in a god-awful East. Look at the Eastern Conference. Come on. And I'm not knocking the Pistons. You play who you play, and they try. They care. There are like 3 good teams in the East.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and part of that reason why there's probably 3 good teams in the East is because this gentleman has only played 13 games this season. Ugh. Just to catch you up, if the last time you saw him play was in the Olympics, well, that was the last time you saw him play. It's Joel Embiid. 13 games this year.
I've gotten to the point now where, and I really hate to question how a man feels about something, but I don't know if he likes basketball. I don't know if he really wants to play. If he just sits there and says, I'm rich enough. I have no motivation to get out of bed and do anything. Because that's what it seems like to him. There's no carrot that drives him that I want another title. I want a title. I want this. I want that. It's just, yeah, I'm rich. I'm tall.
What you've outlined is here's what you've missed while you were watching football. Nobody's watching the NBA because these players are wholly unlikable. What Rico just described? How about Jimmy Butler? How about Joel Embiid?
Kawhi Leonard didn't play until Jerry 4th.
Okay, please. Kawhi Leonard is the poster boy for load management. Seriously. When he plays, that's when you hit the breaking news sound.
And you all talked about Zion. Well, I looked him up, and he played, of course, November 6th, start of the year, but then didn't play again until January 7th and has played basically every 2 games since then.
David.
That's what makes the NBA hard because, once again, you don't know from night to night who's playing. Like, I would never bet on any NBA game.
Can't do it.
Because you're lighting your money on fire.
That's why you got to respect what the Pistons are doing. I'm not telling you they're any good. They're not going to win a championship. They're not going to win a playoff series. They like each other. They play hard. And they play every night.
Yes.
I know who's playing.
Oh, and by the way, David, to add on, since you haven't been watching basketball, when teams come to Detroit to play the Pistons,
They actually play
their stars. They don't show up to Detroit and sit down and say, put the scrubs in. You actually get good games downtown in Detroit. There you go, David.
Well, I hope that caught you up because the trade deadline is now next week. So hopefully you're prepared now for the deadline at 3 p.m.
Oh, by the way, LeBron James is still balding and annoying. In case you were, in case you missed it,
that's you think I was going to mention LeBron?
He's a billionaire. Just go get a few of the plugs. What is he doing?
Because if he does that now, then people are going to make fun of.
I would love him.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Gracefully.
No, no, hold on. I'm not saying go Carlos Boozer and paint your hair on. I'm saying you can tastefully fix this.
At this point, just go gracefully. Just
that's fine.
Yeah, go gracefully out of the NBA. I'm tired of seeing
David. You're just a hater.
Thank you for your career and your contributions. That is your NBA Fast
Love and
break.
Mercy this Sunday at Greater Life.
Welcome in on a Wednesday. Band is back together. Kenny has use of his nasal cavity. That's exciting. David is in a free t-shirt. So, yeah, we're all put back together. Let's party. David, that's a freebie, isn't it?
Not at all.
It's not as good as the Cleveland show one from back in the day. But, hey, listen, can't all bat a thousand. We are going to – he used to have one, Rico. It was incredible. We are going to get to some Lions stuff at 3 o'clock. We'll do a football today. But I know, as scintillating a topic as rats can be, I figured this was the better version of it, the rats in Ann Arbor. So we're going to have some fun to start the show. And by fun, it's two segments. Because largely, I'm just – let's get to the end. I don't have a lot of faith in the NCAA, but one thing I do like is that as Rico and I have sat here for 18 months, factually, we've not touched this story in, Jesus, minimum since summer.
August.
Yeah. So what I do like is when you're going to get slandered and you're going to have people doing dog whistles and arguing stuff that we're not arguing, it is nice to see that you've been right all along. So that's fun. But then it's also to correct some things that are just inaccurate on our very own station. And I get annoyed by it. Because at a certain point, it's okay to just be like, ah, I got what I wanted out of it, but yeah, we did some dirt. And I mean, John acting like he's going to go Russell Crowe and Gladiator. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, they got you. It's right here in the report. Yeah. And second of all, Tennessee didn't fight it. Tennessee displayed, according to the NCAA, exemplary compliance. So let's just try not to make things up and just get it right and move on. So Ross Dellinger wrote an expansive report. Now, this is what's interesting to me. The tone of the Michigan thing has changed, which you and I have always laughed at, which is cheeseburger, well, it wasn't about a cheeseburger, into everyone does it. No, they don't. Into, yeah, we did it, but you're being too mean to us. Yeah, that's where we're at today.
I say, don't forget amicus briefs.
You better strap on them amicus briefs. I hear they give you good support. So Michigan believes the notice of allegations sent in August makes, quote, numerous factually unsupported infractions, exaggerates aggravating factors, and ignores mitigating facts. School requests the NCAA apply a common sense and commitment to fairness and treat the case not as a serious level one, but a level two standard. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first of all, if you didn't do that much in the first place, you don't have to fight this hard. It would have been over.
Yep.
You could have settled, but you know you're dead. Just like the day you were going to have old Jimmy show up in his amicus briefs at the court. This isn't hard. You did the dirt. We've said it from the beginning. You were going to get your memories and your t-shirt and have a good time. Everybody else is going to get to call you cheating scumbags. It's never changed. According to the document, you know, you got dimed out by somebody on your staff.
Yeah.
This wasn't Ryan Day's house cleaner. This wasn't the wild private investigator theories.
No. Wasn't his brother.
You got dimed out from one of your own.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem. There's also the whole text messages. This was the one that this is where we are at the height of dishonesty in this country. And it's in this very medium of media. I feel like sports and politics are a two-horse race to the bottom of the barrel of dishonesty. Meaning, look, Sherrone Moore had 52 text messages from Connor Stallions on his phone. You think those were all, oh, happy birthday? Hey, good lift at the gym, bruh. No, we said that to you from the beginning. It's a common sense approach, the same common sense approach you're asking the NCAA for. Well, according to the documents today, the text messages, yeah, a lot of them were about scouting. Perhaps the most interesting text came in April of 23. Stallion sent a note to Moore that CMU assistant Jay Kostner planned to visit the facility to meet with Moore. CMU opened the 23 season with State. We saw Stallions play dress up the whole bit.
CMU fired Costner last fall as the NCAA investigated the matter of Stallion's appearance on the sideline. And that guy was meeting with your head coach. Nah, I mean, come on. Looks like a duck, quacks like a duck. No?
Well, I also thought it was interesting, Mike. One of the reasons why Moore deleted the text messages, quotes, and it wasn't to hide anything. It was just that I was just extremely angry of, you know, the type of person that would do that to this program and these kids. That's why he deleted all those text messages.
That may be a 12-year-old's excuse why they weren't home when the streetlights came on. I don't know what that is. So look, here's where we've arrived at. Now, this is my problem in all of this, because so much time has gone by, it's hard to be emotional about it. I was emotional in the fall of 23 because you played dress up on my sidelines and you openly cheated. A year has gone by. Now, I don't have great faith that the NCAA will do the right thing, which would be to take a hatchet and plant it into the skull of these scumbags. But here's the problem. If you're Michigan and it were minor, you wouldn't be out there with this stuff right now. Because the tone has changed. They went from utterly defiant to lapdog. To now saying, well, just be nice to us, be fair, be common sense about it. So my question to you is this. Do you believe they have the goods on them? And do you? What level do you think the NCAA will deliver? I'm a cynic. I'm the wrong person to ask. I never believed the NCAA would do much.
You know what? I don't think that the NCAA wanted to do much. And I've said that for the last over a year. The NCAA did not want to have to do their job. The NCAA did not want to have to turn this car around and cancel this trip.
Correct.
The NCAA wanted to just, you know what, take your punishment and we move forward. No, but you did it. No, we didn't. Yes, you did. Here's proof that you did it. No. Like, Michigan right now wants to have a special pre-meeting to find out who the person was that dimed him out. And to see if they could, you know, get that information and see what they can glean from that. And the NCAA is like, no, that's not how this works. I do think that the NCAA really wanted to work with Michigan. I don't think the NCAA wanted to do anything, because let's face it, they never want to take down any school. Ever since SMU, Mike, that was the last time you've ever seen a death penalty.
100%.
And they destroyed a program that SMU has never bounced back from. So, no. But what I think has happened was Michigan has been so defiant that it's now become personal on both sides. Initially, I think the NCAA wanted to help Michigan out. Right now, I don't think they give a rat's ass. I think they are so pissed off. You're so defiant. You're doing all of this stuff. Guess what? For the first time in over, 30, 40 years, we're going to actually do our job. We're going to actually try to hold you to a standard. And Michigan's like, whoa, just come on, just be easy on us and make these level two. Six of them, 60 to 11 violations are level one violations. One against Sherrone Moore is going to be problematic because he's already been caught up in something that can trigger this is the second time, which means he's probably going to get fired if that goes through.
Here's what's interesting too, right? So the case is going to a hearing where the committee has the authority. They're going to conduct the hearings as they see fit and prescribe penalties.
Right.
There is no negotiating anymore. But Michigan wants a, quote, pre-hearing conference to discuss the origins of the tipster.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's irrelevant. But that right there, that is like where we've arrived in society. And I made this joke to you. It's like the equivalent, you're talking to your friend and, like, you know, his wife slept with the whole polo team. And he's like, yeah, but she was a great cook. Well, no, hold on. Those are two different things now. She blew up your family. Yeah, but the meatloaf. And you're like, wait a minute. Keep the main thing the main thing here. It is irrelevant to this.
Yeah.
You do not get to know who the tipster is. Right. You don't get to know who the whistleblower is. That's not how this works. I mean, what the hell are we doing?
Right, because then you wonder, okay, what happens if you find out the name of this person? Like, do you have to put this person in some type of a protection program? Because if I was the guy or woman who leaked this information and my name got out there, man, I'm moving. I don't want anything to deal with that because, yeah, Michigan's going to probably come hard after that person. It wasn't Ryan Day's brother. And yes, if Michigan would have cooperated a long time ago, we're not talking about this and we've moved on. Talking to David about this earlier today. Would have moved on. You would have won your title. People would have. Some people would have questioned it, and they're always going to question it. But you know what? We've now moved on. The reason why nothing happened during the Ohio State game was because, for those who weren't following, the Connor Stallion documentary came out, and the NCAA is like, well, you know what? We got to go back and change some things. And because they changed some things, it gave Michigan an additional 90 days to refute what the new changes were. So that's why you didn't get any information around the Ohio State week.
Right.
That was why.
Like, some of these texts are pretty wild. And I mean, again, if you just believe everybody does it, that's fine. They don't. Not the way that you guys did it. Not that I'm asking you to care. I don't care, right? I'm allowed to think what I think, which is you're a giant pile of you-know-what. You get your T-shirt, I get to laugh in your face when you try the moral high ground, and we just move on with life. It's really what it is. August of 22, Stallions to Moore. He describes needing time to meet with the coach to discuss, quote, a juicy report on CSU. That's Colorado State. Michigan opened the season. They went 51-7. October of 22, he sends Moore a text about Michigan State's blitzing signals, rules, tendencies. Michigan played him every year. State didn't change their signals, the document says in the providing context. November of 22. See, none of these are 23. These are all 22. So it goes all the way back. This was the whole three-year idea of it.
Right.
I've always had a problem with the idea of, like, if it's a one-time occurrence, I do think you show some leniency.
Yeah.
But over 3 years, there was even something in here about Patridge where a staffer came up to him going, I'm not comfortable doing this for Connor. I don't want to do this. Like, at that moment,
yeah,
you self-report. That's it.
Well, yeah, the other thing was when somebody from the Rutgers staff called Mike Hart and kind of said, hey, what are you guys doing over there? Because then it leads to the speculation, like, what the hell ever happened to Mike Hart? Man just disappeared. One of your all-time leading rushers. And like that, like Thanos snapped his finger, he descended to dust and he was gone. And we've never seen him since. Haven't heard from him, nothing. I think if Michigan would have cooperated, this goes away. The NCAA, and I'm going to say this for the people in the back, the NCAA never wanted to do their job. They never wanted to bring Michigan down. It was never going to be a witch hunt, but they needed Michigan to be accountable for what they did. If they would have just shown some type of contrition, this would be over right now, and you probably would have gotten all your level two stuff. You probably would have had to throw out a sacrificial lamb and an assistant coach, and we moved on. You were defiant, and the NCAA said, okay, are you sure you want to go down this road? You chose yes.
How about this one? This is the Partridge thing I was talking about. Staffer approaches him. Inform him. He doesn't want to be a part of Stallion's scheme. Partridge went to Stallions directly and said he told him, you're not using this kid in your signal organization, so, like, just have him be a manager. Close quote. Signal organization. It's the whole thing we've been talking about the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Not some, hey, look, Connor Stallions may be a weirdo. But come on, man, you're not doing this on your own. It's not possible. It's just not plausible, really.
No, and it's on camera of him doing the signals and everybody repeating the signals that he does. So, yes, this was organized.
Look, David, I want to talk to you momentarily, and then we're going to move on with our day. I am too cynical to believe the NCAA is actually going to do the right stuff. Hope I'm wrong, but I don't live in a world of hope. I just try to live in a world of, like, this is the way it is. I don't believe Michigan will get hammered to where anyone's going to be, well, anyone unless you're in Ann Arbor, is going to be happy. But I want to know what you think. You're the Michigan fan. Do you believe they got you? Because we're finally starting to corroborate some of the things we've talked about on the show, and it's all coming true. So it's just an idea of, all right, what now? I want to hear from you next. I can't hear from Kenny because he's a Georgia fan, and he just loves tap dancing on the Big Ten. He's very upset.
All right, 3 o'clock. Before we get into the Lions questions, just real quick of what goes on behind the show. It's not even February, but I gave Kenny a Black History moment. Told Kenny, if he's at a Super Bowl party, if he ever makes something, and a black person says, who made this? With heavy emphasis on this, that's a good thing. That means you are now the new designated person to making this each and every time. It is the bomb. It is, yes.
I've learned so much about the culture.
The culture. So, now if they say, who made this? Run.
Okay. Kenny Learning.
Yes.
I want to bring something up because apparently it became a part of the morning show, and it's Lions related, and I understand Lions fans rightfully still in their feelings. Cookies and I, on the podcast, talked about the coordinators leaving. And he asked me a question. And I'm like, okay, well, here's my answer. And as a part of the answer, I had said, if I could sign a piece of paper today, on January 30th, that the Lions will win 11 football games next year, I'd sign it. Today, zero hesitation. I wouldn't wait for free agency. I wouldn't wait for the draft. I wouldn't wait for training camp. I don't need to worry about anything. I would sign it now. I thought it was a no-brainer. 11 wins could win the division. This was a historical outlier this season where 14-win teams and 15 wins is what it took. 11 wins absolutely 100% puts you in the playoffs, which means I got a chip in a chair. I thought nothing of the comment. I thought it was not negative. I didn't think it was hyperbolic. And I was met with, Costa looked like he bleeped himself. Oh, I wouldn't. I would never. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. You're angry at me for this? I then said to Jim, how many teams in football next year will have a win total of 10.5 or more? Well, very few. I go, then what are we talking about? Well, he wasn't having it. So he went on the air today, and I have no problem with it. Content is content. Great work. But I'd like to talk to our audience. If you could sign a piece of paper right now, knowing that with two new coordinators, multiple new staffers, an unknown offseason ahead, not knowing what Hutch will be like off a broken leg, not knowing when Ali McNeil will be back, because it's very possible it will not be the start of the year, not knowing if they address the D-line, not knowing what the injuries are. You have a more difficult schedule. You will play more elite quarterbacks. If I take it all off the table and you can just sign on the dotted line, 11 wins. I do the deal right now, 305. I do the deal. Yes. I would.
Take the pen.
But I didn't think it was negative at all. I'd like to know why I was vilified for that.
I don't understand why it's vilified. You know what? Yes, I do. I do, because I still think that we did the stages of grief, and you may have David called it the delusional stage, the one we left out. The people who think that this is the new norm, winning 15 games a year, they're going to win the NFC, they're going to be the number one seed all the time. Man, looking at your schedule for next year, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Yes. I would lock that in immediately and say, yes, I'm all in. 11-6 means you're in the playoffs. You may not be the number one overall seed. Doesn't matter. You're in the playoffs. You got to play 9 road games. And yeah, I know you do the takeover thing. It won't be this easy because you're playing some real quarterbacks next year.
But you would sign it.
Yes.
Okay. But now, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying it to you, but yes.
That's fine. That's fine. David. The Lions will win 11, okay? Not 15, not 7, not 13, not 8. 11-6, you lock in right now. Do you sign it, and why was I vilified?
Yes, I would sign it. Yes, Rico, it is delusion. A lot of Lions fans believe that this is not the NFL. They can just do it every year because they're the Lions and they're going to have a top 5 offense. I can't say predict that right now. They have a new coordinator.
Right.
And everyone say, well, the defense will get better because the players are going to return. I can't also tell you they'll have a top 15 defense because I just don't know with the new coordinator. So right now, yes, lock in 11 wins.
Kenny Cott, noted Lions engine block fan. 11-6.
11-6, I signed the paper. It's a combination platter for me between losing your coordinators, which is gigantic, and look at the schedule we have next year. It's not exactly easy.
No.
Kenny, let me help you out with that.
The NFL's not easy.
It's true.
248-539-9797. Lions fans, would you lock in right here, right now, an 11-6 record? Knowing you have new coordinators, knowing you have a tough schedule, not even knowing what Hutchinson is going to be like coming back and all the people coming off of injury for this past season. 11-6, you're in the playoffs. What seeding? Don't know, don't care. But you're in. You got a shot at the whole thing. Here's your road schedule. At Baltimore, at Cincy, at Kansas City, at the Rams, at the Eagles, at Washington, along with your divisional, Green Bay, Minnesota.
Keep the division out of this. Okay. Read the first ones again. I want to say something. Now, this will come off as provocative, but this proves my point. Read the non-divisionals.
At Baltimore, at Cincy, at Kansas City, at Rams, at Eagles, at Commanders.
You could go 0-6 in those games. Argue it. You could lose every one of those games. So what the hell are we talking about when I say 11-6? Don't you sign the paper?
You do. And let me give you a little bit of this year. You know how many teams this year, preseason, had over 11.5, but basically 11.5 wins, Vegas style. Vegas basically said three teams were worthy of over under 11.5 games. You weren't one of them, Detroit. Want to take a guess who?
Go ahead.
Eagles, Buffalo at 11.5, Chiefs, 12.5.
And I'm sitting here and I said 11, and I'm the bad guy. And nobody on the morning show would sign the piece of paper. I don't quite understand it. But you know what? You could be better. But if you don't want to sign it, you know what else you could be? Worse.
Mm-hmm.
And not allowing worse to be a part of this is exactly why you got popped in the playoff game and exactly why you're all still in the fetal position. You just have, guys, you better alter your perspective. You will never go 15-2 again. It's possible. You know how many franchises in the league have never won 15 games, including you until this year? Yeah. And it's not anything that you could ever chart or replicate. Like, it just happens.
Right. And once again, remember, your road schedule, non-conference, brutal, non-division, you could go 0-6. And then I often say it depends when you play Green Bay. Because if you play Green Bay in late December, I count that as a loss because that ain't good golf. Let's just put it like that. Now, you play Green Bay in September, you can win that thing, just like you did this year. That's yours. So, but yes, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Like, seriously, at this point, you have to ask, you know, the commissioner, what did we do to you?
No, you were the best team in the league.
I get it. But it's what you get. All of these on the road, yes.
See, here's the thing, and I'll use it, because we use them as an example, because the Eagles in 2022 went to the Super Bowl and then lost their coordinators. They're just a perfect example. In 2022, when they went to the Super Bowl, they won 14 games. Guess how many games they won the next season after losing their coordinators? 11. It happens. You lose your coordinators and things change. Still a playoff team.
Wait.
Still good.
And at one point, weren't they 10-0?
Yes, I believe they were. I believe they were, yes.
At one point, they were 10-0. And they finished with 11 wins. Yeah.
248-539-9797. If I offered you a deal that you would win 11 games next season as a Lion fan, do you take the deal? I don't view it as negative in any way, shape, or form. Yet, that's how Cookies treats it. I don't. I was flabbergasted. 11-6 is a really good year in today's NFL. And with that schedule, with the upheaval, the staffing, geez, I didn't think twice about it. So I wanted to know if your team Cookies or team me, I guess, for lack of a better way of describing it, I think it is peak delusion to thumb your nose at 11 wins. I think you're out of your mind.
See, I think where you lose it, Mike, it's not the 11 wins. I think where a lot of Lions fans have a problem with is the 6 losses.
Well, that's how it works.
No, I understand that, but think about it. Means, wait, well, who are we going to lose to? Because we're better than everybody. Our offense is better than this team, and they're better than that team. So it's wrapping your head around not winning 11 times. You could fathom that. It's, well, who do we lose to? Who could we possibly lose to? We just named off 6 teams right there, all on the road, not in your division. You could lose all of those games, win all your home games, win all your division games, and you're still 11-6. So that's what I think perplexes so many Lions fans is, well, who we actually have to lose to?
Yeah, the difference is this year's schedule didn't feature those teams.
Yeah, you had a hard time with Jaden Daniels? Well, his dad, you got to go to his house.
248-539-9797. We can get to the people, get some ticket texts as well. And again, if you disagree, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. I don't think you're looking at it clearly. And I don't think I'm a bad person for taking the deal. We'll get to it. 3 o'clock, good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything. And also, please, if you'd be kind enough, subscribe to our YouTube, which is separate from the station. And, yeah, it helps. That's all. It helps Evan and John, and they do an incredible job with the video. I want to bring up something that, look, part of it is fun because we've had a great time with the conspiracy theory theater this week, but part of it is serious. When you use the word federal investigation, there has to be a level of severity. And this doesn't matter what sport. But right now, Terry Rozier, former Celtic Hornet guard, he's with the Heats now. The Heat, not plural. There's no team called the Heats. There's federal investigation surrounding an illegal, illicit gambling scheme. And sports doesn't need this right now, especially on the heels of what we've been doing with the Super Bowl. And look, sports betting, we've talked about this for a while. You're inviting problems. I mean, I don't hide that we make money off sports betting, right? And I've never said it's good for you. I've never said that it's a road to retirement. In fact, I often tell you how bad of an idea it is for the average person. But federal investigators are looking into an unusual betting activity relating to Terry Rozier during his time with the Hornets. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. I'm not going to take you through the initial scheme, but basically in a March 23rd, 2023 game, Rozier finished the game, 5 points, 4 boards, 2 assists in the opening quarter. But he left the game. In that game, there was unusual betting activity. There was social media activity of people saying, hey, at least I was in on it today. Got lucky. I was fed inside info. Rozier was leaving in the first or second, depending on game flow, so that his unders would hit. We've seen the Jontay Porter thing, where now he's banned for life. This is a long way of saying the following, or asking the following, as fans of whether it's baseball, basketball, football. I think football and basketball are probably your two big ones. Have you begun to question the authenticity of what you're watching? Not just me with the NFL and believing it's rigged, hashtag Taylor Swift. I'm talking about the advent of sports betting, the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that are wagered upon it. When you go look, guys, and I'm sure, David, if you wanted to pull the data, you could quickly. I mean, when you're seeing what states are making, what the money being wagered per state, right? The money's gotten so big in sports, that's been a part of why I believe the NFL is rigged. Too much money on the line. Well, think about this. This is the darker side of it. The league manipulating a game is one thing.
Yeah.
But when gambling can manipulate it, when a player can manipulate it, now it's not us having fun, even though I believe Super Bowl's rigged, it gets dark. So now let's take it to the next level.
Well,
and I have to answer the question. No, I want to answer honestly, and you can make fun of me.
Oh, no. I was about to say, but you also left out even not just like individual players, but the whole Eastern Michigan basketball thing and the unders. And all of a sudden that triggered, like, hey, they had a couple of games where I guess it was some heavy betting on the Eastern Michigan hoops on first half unders and over unders. And it was just like, whoa. And it caused them to, you know, they had to go and question and find out, are some things happening? So it's not just even big games.
No, it's the small ones are the easier ones.
Yeah.
Look, we've seen it in the history of sports, right? There's the Boston College scandal. There was the Arizona State scandal. But this is now we're at a different point, guys. And I want to know whether you have begun to question the authenticity of what you're watching. Because I do. I admit that. I look at what I do every fall with the amount of college football I have to watch or NFL football. I see things on a weekly basis that I can't reconcile. And you do ask a question. And guys, here's what I hate to say this. But You can corrupt an official or a player for a lot less money than you realize. Not that I'm advocating that. I'm just making a point. When you have people operating these gambling schemes for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and they're intricate and they're spreading the bets over 4, 5, 6 states and 10, 12, 14 different establishments and using 30, 40, 50 different people to run those bets without triggering really alarms. Yeah, guys, like, what do you think it would take to corrupt a player who plays for Merrimack? What do you think it would take to corrupt a ref who's divorced twice and has child support payments? Like, guys, that's the real world. So now that you've made sports betting legal and you've got kiosks in the arena and you've got the logo on the court and you got a TV network named after it and you got in-game parlay updates from a person working the sidelines, what do you think is going to happen? So no, I'm not surprised about Jontay Porter. No, what Rico just brought up, even though I was unaware of it because I got to be honest, I don't think about Eastern Michigan hoops. Shout out Earl Boykins. I question the results of some of the things I see. Guilty.
Yeah.
Am I wearing a tinfoil hat or am I living in the real world?
No, it's just like, especially because I guess prop bets is, and look, I like doing the prop bet casino, but yes, it's probably one of the easier things to manipulate because if David averages, you know, 9 rebounds a game and I take the under and he goes out there and gets 7, it looks like he tried. He just had an off night. But David could be, you know, could be on the take. Not to say that you would, David, but yes, it's very easy when all of a sudden you see a player and you're like, wow, they normally make that shot or they normally do this or, you know, they normally make that kick. Like, that's when you start thinking like, man, you know, he's on the take. But now it's, you should say it flippingly like, oh, he's on the take. But now it's like, you know, check his bank account, make sure that, you know, everything's on the up and up or this receiver drops this pass. Like, he never drops this pass.
But think about how unhealthy this is. The fact that if a player makes a legitimate, earnest mistake, we're sitting there skeptical or having cynical doubts about why. Look, I would like to know. Look, it's 5 years since sports betting went legal here in this state. You guys are our audience. Has it changed the way you watch sports? And aside from what I've brought up about the NFL, where if you use Odyssey.com Rewind or you check out our YouTube page, I'm sure the video's up there, I believe 75% of what was in that segment. The only part I didn't was Taylor Swift getting engaged after the game, but it was for fun. The idea is this Terry Rozier thing, the Jontay Porter thing, how many things do we not know about? And realistically, it's a question of do you believe that gambling is impacting games? It's yes or no. I'm not trying to make this a confirmation hearing. It's a yes or no question. Not really. It's way more nuanced than that, but this is all theater. This is yes and no. I believe yes. I think we've had enough time, enough data. I think we see the numbers. I think you see the amount of money that's on the line. And then you see these inexplicable things happen, and it's impossible to not question the authenticity of what I am watching. So 248-539-9797. David, Kenny, I want both your perspectives on this, especially Kenny, who bet on the Wings last night. Congratulations. Very nice job by you. David.
Definitely it's in the back of my mind, and it's more in the back of my mind when I watch basketball. When I see a player, quote-unquote, miss a free throw towards the end of the game when he's a 80% shooter, it makes me wonder, like, he's not having a bad night. What's going on here? So, yes, it does cross my mind, and mainly with that because it's, to me, it feels easier to manipulate in basketball. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can easily miss this 3-point shot. I can easily foul here or whatever I have to do versus the other sports. But yes, it's in the back of my mind.
Or David,
for sure.
You get close to your average so it doesn't trigger anything, and then you roll an ankle. Can't go back into the game. Sorry, coach. Injured. And you stay in the under.
Look, the Jontay Porter thing, it's case in point. All you have to do is when you legitimately catch a cold or you don't feel well, yeah, I'll gut it out tonight. And then in the first quarter, yeah, I'm toast. I don't have it tonight. Mm-hmm. What's the coach going to say? All right, he tried. He was sick, but he tried.
Yeah.
And yet all you had to do was just tip off a couple of people. Yeah, probably want to go with those unders tonight. Like, Again, I don't think everything is this. And I don't want you guys thinking we're on a flying saucer. But how many of these instances have to happen? And two of them happen to be in the NBA. You know, the same league that had a ref on the take. Which, by the way, I will go to my grave believing there were more refs compromised than just Tim Donaghy. Sorry.
You know what, Michael? I'll say this. Whenever you have to quickly come out and say it was a lone gunman, it's when it's never a lone gunman.
It's almost like Connor Stallions.
Yes. Whenever you have to immediately come out and say, no, it was just him, and we're all above reproach.
Yeah, there's a playbook.
That tells me right there, don't believe anything that comes out of your mouth, because they quieted him. They discredited him. Oh, he's this poor, horrible person. And yes, we all knew that he was doing this. Like, he wasn't the only one.
Let me ask this question, because I am surprised we have a lack of phone traffic on this. Do you guys think this is insane? I mean, if you just want to call up and verbally abuse Kenny, that's fine too. I
think what it is.
Or are people thinking we're right and they just don't want to call?
No, it's if you side on the side of you start questioning it, then you take away the innocence.
Yeah, but the innocence is gone.
But you don't want to believe that the innocence
is gone. But you have to. Well, look, then fine. Believe the tooth fairy's real. It when the money got this big, then you added gambling on top of it. And you know, look, teams are in bed with sports books now.
Mm-hmm.
You have people placing bets a few feet from the players.
Yeah.
You had somebody the other night yelling at LeBron, I need one more, and LeBron goes and gets a rebound.
Yeah. You have, like,
come on, man.
You have gambling kiosk in arenas.
Thank you.
You got the different lounges where you could just go and gamble during the games. Just sit here, have a drink, and gamble.
My point is, do you believe it has impacted the results? Do you question the results? And I don't care what sport it is. All right, football, basketball, hockey, I don't know how you do it. It's too fast. The puck bounces around too much. I don't know. Maybe you go out and you buy an official and he can give you a couple of bad calls. But I'm sorry, I've arrived at a point where...
I was about to say, for hockey, it's probably the easiest person is a goalie. Because, you know what, I'm having a bad night. So until you pull me, I'm just going to let everything go past.
I think the easiest way for hockey to do it would be having a guy... There's like a shots on goal prop bet. Just have a guy have one less shot on goal than the prop says. Similar to making a free throw or getting a rebound.
But yeah, it's very...
Oh.
I'm not saying it can happen. Because like you said, vulcanized rubber on frozen ice. It's not easy.
But Mike, just so you know...
Why does it feel like Kenny sounds way, like he knows way too much about that?
It was a lot of information
well,
there.
Well, actually, guys, if you're going to throw a hockey game, it'd be the shot on goal prop. And,
if I had to guess, if I was the one doing it, that's how I would, if I did it, that's how I would do it.
Kenny, I may have underestimated you.
Okay.
You know,
okay, OJ.
Well, I always think like, you know, backwoods Kenny, but there's hillbilly mafias. Maybe Kenny's got maybe... Kenny, are you,
Yeah, I'm running a minor league hockey gambling ring is what I'm doing.
The Crockpot Syndicate. There you go.
We're betting on the Saginaw Spirit tonight, boys.
I got a hot tip on an under shots goal. Oh, my God. We'll get with the people next. And again, if you don't believe this, if you think, guys, come on. Just, again, I'm bringing this to you as there's now an NBA, there's a federal investigation into exactly what we're talking about. Keep that in mind.